This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to water, San Antonio is caught between a rock and a dry place. We have a growing population and a drought that appears to be part of a long-term dry trend due to climate change. The San Antonio Water System has signed on to a desalinization plan to pull brackish water from the Wilcox Aquifer to take the strain off the Edwards Aquifer, but there's a growing chorus of folks who say that may not be enough. The San Antonio Greater Chamber of Commerce released a report this last week that looked at what would happen if the local economy if the city had a crisis of water supply. Here's John Hockenius, the president of TXP, an economic analysis and public policy consulting firm.
Bottom line, as measured in dollars, if you have an 11% shortage of water for a certain period of time, you'd lose about 6,700 jobs here in the San Antonio economy. If you had a 24% shortage of water, the level of job loss jumps up to about 34,000. And if you get up above 43% shortage of water, then all of a sudden you've seen a real spike up in the level of lost jobs. It's 135,000, according to our estimate.
That sounds dire, but are these realistic situations for San Antonio? We're talking about planning for San Antonio's water future, and we're joined by Ron Nuremberg. He's the city council member for District 8, and Annalisa Peace, the executive director of the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Good afternoon, Dave.
When you hear this doom and gloom prediction, if we lose so much water, we lose all these jobs, what is your reaction to that?
I think it's underscoring a reality here in the state of Texas that's been underscored already by the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank that basically says that water scarcity is the number one economic threat to this region. We are a single source aquifer community right now, so the effort to diversify, increase supplies is one that I think is very well understood. We need to undertake that effort to make sure that we have water supply our next generation.
Annalisa Peace, the situation that we heard from the Chamber of Commerce's report that they put out talking about how many jobs we would lose if we lost all this water, is that a realistic situation? Are we talking about losing that much water?
Well, you know, I really don't know about losing that much water, and I think that the SAW's plan for the desalination projects would allow them to bring the supply online as it's needed. So I don't really think there's a threat of severe water shortages or losing jobs at this time or, you know, into the foreseeable future.
So this situation that they describe, if we lose 24% of our water, we're not really – that's not all, you know, panicky, like we're going to lose 24% of our water anytime soon. That's not going to happen, at least in the near term. But as we talk about water, we do have to look very far into the future, to 2050 or something like that. Right, Ron?
Well, I think the study is attempting to illustrate a stark reality in the community that, you know, water is extremely important to our economy. We have very water-intensive industry here in town. And also the state demographer tells us that over a million people will be moving to this area within the next 20 to 30 years, and we need to make sure that we have water supply for our residents, let alone for business purposes and to keep our industry strong.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join this conversation talking about how San Antonio should be thinking about water into the future, what plans we should be making, what efforts we should be doing right now to get ready for the future. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Now, Ron, I hear that you want the city of San Antonio, the city hall, the city council, to put together your own water plan, which is, you know, but you have SAWS. SAWS is part of the city. Why would the city council want to do that and not do SAWS' water plan?
Correct. Well, San Antonio Water System is a city-owned, taxpayer-owned utility that governs water. It's also our enforcement agency for environmental issues. Basically, what I've asked city staff to do is compile all of our policies and procedures, regulations and standards that deal with or impacted by water security. What I've asked them is what are the current policies that are directly affecting water quality and supply? How does the city growth plan impact our water security efforts, and how do these policies align with each other? And, of course, how are ratepayers impacted? The fact of the matter is this is a conversation that needs to be elevated to the highest order. I mean, water security in San Antonio is a huge concern for us moving forward, considering the amount of growth that's taking place across the region.
I one time wrote an article for San Antonio Magazine, and it was about interview all the former mayors and talk about their tenures. And every single one of them, Henry Cisneros, Holly Cockrell, Bill Thornton, were all saying the thing that they really wanted to get their arms around, if they never could actually get accomplished, was doing just that, finding a way to plan for and secure the city's water future. Ron.
Right. That's right. And you know, right now as it stands, SAWS does a number of things very, very well. We've made significant progress in recycling and reuse of water. We're a model community when it comes to conservation efforts. Certainly, the city has been engaged in the effort to protect the aquifer, and that is another success story. We have a voter-approved initiative called the Edwards Aquifer Protection Initiative, in which voters have allowed us to purchase conservation easements over the aquifer, which is an extremely important initiative. So all these efforts have been doing an important job for us to secure water supply currently. But as we look out into 2050 and the population growth that's occurring, and also the fact that we have a new climatological reality in the state of Texas, we need to be planning for that future now, and we have the ability to do it.
And all of these great things you're talking about, where San Antonio is with water today, that didn't come without a fight, right, Annalisa Pease?
Yeah, that's correct. And we really applaud Representative Nuremberg's, Councilman Nuremberg's efforts in engaging the community in this planning and in this dialogue. What we've seen, in terms of planning for water supplies in the past have been some serious fights like the Applewhite, and then issues like you've got the Marriott out there now and tax incentives over the recharge zones and things like that. And I think our main concerns with the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance lie in how we're going to address these future water needs and new water supply projects. So we have issues of, like right now, SAWS planning to extend water service all the way out into Comal County. Is that really something that the citizens of San Antonio and the ratepayers of SAWS should be concerned about and charged with? So there are a lot of issues here that, have been contentious in the past and probably will continue to be contentious in the future. But I have every confidence that people can come together. And, of course, we all recognize that San Antonio is going to grow, and we will need to plan for secure water supply.
All right, Annalisa Pease, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about a water in the future of San Antonio. Also, the ratepayer is a big part of this conversation. We have to make sure that the rate increases will happen, but will that be for the right reasons? We invite your phone calls. The number is 614-8980. We'll get to these calls right after this break. Again, that number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's future planning for water, making sure we have enough water to remain, have a vibrant and robust economy. We heard a report last week from the Greater San Antonio Chamber of Commerce predicting if we had a long-term crisis of supply for water, what it would mean for our jobs. Ron Nuremberg from District 8 City Council member joins us. He's talking about a San Antonio water plan, a comprehensive water plan, looking at what the city's doing. Annalisa Pease, she's a longtime water warrior, the executive director for the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance, is here. And we invite your phone calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's go straight to the calls. Carl has called in. Carl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dave. Love your show, as always. Just a personal observation. This is so important to me that I'm looking at changing a career, and I'm actually trying to decide whether to stay in San Antonio, because no matter what they say, San Antonio is growing. We have less and less water to go further and further, and I'm just afraid that it's going to be a real problem in the very near future, 10, 15 years down the road. And I'm making decisions today based on that. Yes, I'm actually in Ron's district, and there's a lot being done, but I don't think there's enough being done or fast enough. Thank you.
So, Carl, are you thinking that, you know, we'll have a real major water crisis and home values will crash or something like that?
Well, with the climate change that is going on and the drought that we're having right now, how long have we been at stage two and stage three? It's been 2 years or more now. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, are things going to get better? No, I don't think they're going to get better. I think they're going to get worse. And if more and more people keep moving in, that's going to exacerbate the situation. Do we have the means to make it work? Yeah.
Okay.
Property values may fall. There may not be jobs for people to pay for this.
All right, Carl. Thanks for that call. We appreciate that. Ron, that sounds pretty, pessimistic. I mean, no one is talking about this actually happening right now. There's plenty of water, right?
Yeah, and I think the caller can take solace in the fact that our San Antonio leadership is in a good position to make these decisions strategically and proactively. We sit in an area of strategic advantage with the Edwards Aquifer. This is a single-source aquifer, unfiltered. We're able to draw water from it, although it's politically limited. We're able to draw water for it, and it has kept rates down. It's also the bedrock of our water supply now, and it will be into the future. This gives us an opportunity to get the other part of the equation right, the growth equation. And that is where we're looking at diversifying our portfolio. The mayor's talked about diversifying the portfolio. The business leaders have talked about it. The ratepayers need to talk about it as well, because this is how we're going to keep keep our water supplied for next generations. I think, you know, the fact that we've had a number of projects considered and scuttled over the years, the reality of us needing that water is growing nearer and nearer, and it's getting more expensive the years that go on. So the time is right now to begin elevating this conversation to a citywide conversation.
So, Annalisa Peace, go ahead.
Great to be looking at, securing future water supplies and all, but we have to make sure that we choose the right projects. And you had asked before about divisive political battles, but I would cite the Applewhite, where we were looking at the time, a series of four or five reservoir projects, and now we know that reservoirs are really not the way to do it. So instead, we have the aquifer storage and recovery. You have right now looking at the desal projects, which our staff had recommended, where you can bring the projects online as they're needed versus a proposal for a project that will cost $70 to $80 million a year, and yet there's no guarantee of water. So we all agree, I think, that we need to secure water supplies to account for growth and for drought. But at the same time, we need to look really carefully at what are the right supply projects and what are the right plans to adopt as we move forward.
Sure. But Annalisa, I want you to address what Carl was talking about when he was really expressing a very, unhappy view about where we are with water in San Antonio. Do you feel that way? And you're right there fighting for water all these times, so you know where we are, and you're not pro anything, so go ahead.
Well, yeah, and he mentioned the stage two drought restrictions. Now, I think a lot of people think it would be wise to go on the drought restrictions all the time, the reason being that in the summertime, half of our water usage for saws is to water lawns. So if we have drought restrictions and that are actually predicating future development and teaching people how to use water wisely, that's not a bad thing, and it shouldn't be a scary thing.
Okay, let's get some more callers on the air. Andy has called in. Andy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Doing good.
I was just wanting to find out what they might say to how much water we're actually using in the San Antonio River downtown for our tourists out of our actual fresh water source, or that water that is coming through the river has nothing to do with our aquifer.
Oh, I can take that one.
Okay, Andy, thank you for that call. Annalisa?
Yeah, the water that goes in the San Antonio River, it used to come from the aquifer. It was pumped from the aquifer, but now it's actually reuse water. So the water is cleaned up at the water treatment plant and then goes down the San Antonio River. So we're not using aquifer water in the San Antonio River.
And then that water is released downstream, and it continues to outflow all the way, hopefully, to the San Antonio Bay to keep that estuary healthy.
Right.
Okay, let's get Julian on the air. Julian, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I just had a question about rainwater catchment systems on homes. Is it feasible that in the future we could have a city with hundreds of thousands of homes collecting their own water and also recycling gray water? I just think that that would be a great self-sufficient way to do things, and it would be an economic boom for the business world out there developing these systems. And thought maybe you could discuss that a little bit, and I'll go off the air. Thanks.
All right, Julian, thank you for your call. So, Ron, are you much involved in gray water recycling and rainwater catchment?
Well, this is part of the SAWS conservation package. I mean, I think that one area that we can be proud of in terms of these efforts in our city is the fact that SAWS has really pushed on water reuse, as Annalisa had mentioned, as well as new technologies for conserving water at the residence. Certainly, there's more that can be done, and conservation is one part of the solution for water security moving forward. I don't think there's any single silver bullet, and I don't think anyone believes that there is in terms of securing water. That's why we have to discuss the bedrock parts of our water supply, which is the aquifer. We have to discuss conservation at a utility level, but also at a consumer level. And then, of course, we have to talk about how we diversify, the right moves for diversification and increasing the supplies.
Okay, go ahead.
In the future, UT in Austin has already done where you could design buildings, commercial buildings, with rainwater catchment systems that would supply all the non-potable uses. 90% of a commercial building's water use is to flush the toilets. So you can conceivably, they're already shown that this is doable. You can use rainwater to supply all the non-potable water needs in a commercial building. So, you know, new technology will come online in the future that we can certainly take advantage of, you know, in terms of wastewater reuse and rainwater harvesting.
Okay, our phone line is 614-8980. We're talking about San Antonio's water future. Some of these big mega projects they're talking about for San Antonio, like this desal plant, and also possibly piping in water from across the state, like in Valverde, and also up near like Bastrop area, are being considered. Let's get another caller in on this. Then Joe has called in. Joe, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Just a quick question. I'm a lifetime resident of San Antonio, and ever since I was a child, and I'm 58 years old now, I've always heard very smart people talking about an alternate water source for our area, and we have yet to have one. Are there any time frames or time constraints on these new roundup discussions to where we can say, okay, in 2 years we'll have a plan, good or bad, but still a plan to deploy and move forward? Because, you know, we are growing, and water is a finite resource. So at some point, we're going to be planning and never implementing. So that those are my comments, and maybe somebody can address that.
Okay, Ron Nirenberg.
Well, I think it's mythology to think that we have only one source right now. The fact is we do have desalinization coming online. There's certainly talk of expanding that, and to what degree is certainly up for debate. The SAWS RFP that was out there is certainly part of the conversation right now. But long term, we do need to have a plan in place that's all actually being implemented for securing new water supply and diversifying water supply. And that's certainly the question now. The time frame is, according to SAWS projections, that we will have a water shortage in the very near term. So these conversations become all the more important as the days go by.
So, Annalisa Pease, talk about some of these RFP projects that have been looked at by SAWS.
Well, we were kind of happy to see there were it was narrowed down to three finalists, and one of them, the Valverde Water Supply Project, we were very much opposed to because of the impacts it would have on Edward Springs and also on the flows to the Rio Grande. So we didn't think that was really a sustainable project. And the Dimmitt County project we had concerns with because it's in the Eagle Ford region, and so we just didn't know with, you know, the water for fracking being exempt water use, would the water actually be there? I see on the SAWS agenda that they are going to ask the board to eliminate both of those projects. Now, on the third project, they were directed to actually explore that further. The SAW staff recommendation was to decline that project. Basically, from what was said at the last board meeting by the staff, was that the payments would be firm, and they were talking $70 to $80 million a year, but the project company was unable to guarantee that they could actually supply the water. And so I would say that that would be a major hurdle to be overcome if they're going to seriously consider that project.
And that water supposedly would come from where?
Lee County.
Lee County. Now, and that's so they're talking about charging $70, $80 million a year for this pipeline that still has to be built, but and no guarantee that we'd get a drop of water.
Right. And our concern, too, is that if you're doing those big major payments, it would really kind of change the business model because those payments are firm. That means SAWS might, you know, be concerned about selling more water, which means expanding, say, into areas like Comal and Medina County, which we don't think is a good idea, or, you know, loosening backtracking on their conservation measures,
right,
which they've been really
so obviously
on,
there's
they're going to have to sell water to pay for
so
that.
There's going to be more of a need for strategic thinking, looking at what's best for the city, right, Ron?
Yes, and that's why we need to make this a citywide conservation at the council level to talk about how are we going to supply our businesses and our residents with water up to the years in the future and future generations.
Yeah, the city's at stake here. Ron Nuremberg, District 8 City Council Member, thank you for joining us. Annalisa Peace, Executive Director for the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance. Coming up after the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin. This is the source on KSTX. I'll be right back.